Amen. Glory to God. If you're thankful that you're alive, shout to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I just love being a Christian. You know what I love best about it? It's forever. We have everlasting life. Isn't that exciting? We'll never stop being us. We will live for absolutely ever. That changes my perspective about a few things, doesn't it? When I really let it sink in that I will never die. I may give up this earth suit like I would some old clothes that I put in Goodwill when I'm done with them. You know, after I'm through with this body, I don't care what y'all do with it. I'm done. Stick it in the ground, burn it up. I don't care. I'm finished with it. Praise the Lord. But I will have a new body, right? You will also. We are Christians, and we will live forever. That is really, really good news. Do you know the people in the world can't say the same thing? They have such a fear of dying that it controls the way they live their life on the planet. But we don't have that fear. We don't have that fear at all. You know, it says that we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and not loving our own life, even to the death. I don't care about me if I die. I care about Jesus, right? Some people don't like that last part of that verse. Not loving my own life, even to the death. We don't like that part. But I'll tell you what. The more we have revelation of who we really are, the more we can take authority over this flesh and how it's trying to lead us along in this life to self-protect and to be glorified on the earth. Amen? We don't need that. When we really know who we are and what we've been given, what we want to do is set other people free so they can have the same thing. And that glorifies God. Amen? Amen. If you'll turn with me, let's start with one verse, and we'll go from there. I have a bunch of handouts of what I'm going to be teaching today, so you don't have to be too stressed out about taking notes, okay? I just don't want to give them to you now because I don't want you to run ahead of me. All right? Because some people, they get the paper and they stop listening, okay? So I want you to listen, but I want you to have comfort to know I've got the paper for you, okay? Thanks to our speed typer, Bruce, they're ready to go for you. But I'm going to use my handwritten notes. So if you'll go ahead and turn to Psalms 37, and let's begin with Psalms 37, verse 4. This is a very famous verse, but I really want to just focus on something about it. How many of you like worshiping the Lord? Praising the Lord? Speaking the name of Jesus? Worshiping the Lord Himself? You know, we can sing about the Lord, but there's something special about singing to the Lord. There's something that connects us with Him when we worship Him and exalt Him, because He is our healer. Not talking about Him is our healing. He is our healer. He is our Father. He is our Lord and our God. He is our provision. He's all in all, isn't He? And He deserves our glory. He deserves it. And as we glorify Him, our life will magnify His life and we'll resemble Him in our walk. So let's look at Psalms 37, verse 4. And it says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. I want to focus on the first two words. We want the desires of our hearts. How many of you want the desire of your heart? Okay, the rest of you that don't want the desire of your heart, I want to let you know something. You won't get the desire of your heart. So isn't that wonderful? But if you do have a desire in your heart, and I want to let you know, your desire could be health, could be prosperity, it could be a greater revelation of God, It could be what your purpose is on the earth. Your desire can be anything. Why? Because it's your desire. And if you delight yourself in the Lord, He will give us the desire of our hearts. So how do we delight ourselves in God? Think about this. If I delight myself in Him, how many of y'all spend time delighting yourself in God? About a third. I want to let you know that, you know what? I didn't know how to do that at first. How do you actually delight yourself in somebody? So let's just say you're married, or you've got a brother or a sister or a friend. How do you delight yourself in your friend? Huh? Go ahead, shout it out. I'll repeat you. What? Spend time with them. What else? Listening to them. I want to say something. Just because you hear the words that they're speaking doesn't mean you're listening. Sometimes, like we've heard before, you're loading your guns, right? When you got a friend that's speaking. So sometimes listening really means that we don't have an agenda and we're just hearing what they have to say. That's listening. How many of you like to be heard when you've got something you want to share? You don't want somebody to just be there and go, oh, yeah, yeah, right. And they don't really hear what you're trying to share with them. I know a lot of people that are sick and wounded because they've got nobody that hears them. They don't have anybody in their life that actually hears them. Well, let me ask you this. Do you take the time to hear God when He talks to you? Or are you too busy doing your stuff? Oh, yeah, right, right, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So hearing Him, huge in building relationship. So to delight ourselves, what else can we do to delight ourselves in somebody? Shout it out. You can do things for them. Yes, that's very good also. Or do things with them. Doing things with them. Having fun together. Doesn't that delight you in a friend when you're having fun together? There's nothing quite like going on the Manahorn roller coaster, you know? But it's much better with somebody else, right? I'll tell you, I used to have friends that would invite me to the movies. You know why? They love my laugh. Seriously, because I react to the movies and I laugh and I'm very vocal and I get into it and it makes them laugh so hard they enjoy the movie better. So, you know, I told somebody, I'll just keep going. An infectious laugh is contagious. It's wonderful. You know the Lord laughs? The Lord has a good sense of humor and He laughs. It's nice to enjoy Him, to really enjoy God. You know, let me develop this a little bit as we go on. Remember the tithe in the Old Testament, what the Lord said in the Old Testament about the tithe? I don't want to go through all the verses, but He would say that we would take 1/10 of our harvests and the firstlings of our flocks, and they would be dedicated to the Lord, right? You know what the Lord did with the tithe? He decided to have a place where everybody met and they had a big party with God and ate the tithe. That's what they did. And they took care of the poor and the priests because there was such an abundance with all the leftovers. Do you know that? God wants to enjoy with you what you enjoy. He loves being with you. He loves enjoying your life with you. And that way you can delight yourself in Him as you're living the life that He's given to you on this earth. He wants to spend it with us. After all, He is our ever-present God. He really is. And so the more that we can actually include Him in our everything, the more we can really delight ourselves in Him. And as we do that, guess what? He gives you the desires of your heart. Why? Because He's having such a good time with all of that too. So He's happy to shell it out. I'll tell you what, you know, I have some friends that don't necessarily have money, but I really like them. I really enjoy their company. They make me laugh. They're silly, because I'm a little bit cheesy myself. I admit it, I am. But, you know, they make me, they're just crazy. Not crazy bad, crazy good. They think differently than I do. But you know what? Sometimes they don't want to do stuff because they haven't got any money. You know what I say? I don't care. I'll pay. I just want you to be with me. I'll pay. I'll gladly pay. I just enjoy your company so much. I got money. You got great attitude. Let's go have fun together. You know that? And so we share together, and I don't mind pouring out whatever they need at the moment while we're all hanging out together because I really enjoy their company. God's the same way. The more we enjoy ourselves and delight ourselves in Him, the more He'll just shower onto us because He enjoys it just like we do. Amen? So, that's how I want to open. Secondly, after that, after we delight ourselves, He gives us the desires of our hearts. So let's talk about some of the things that we desire. What are some of the things you desire? On the paper, I've got some places where you can write a few things down. I'd like you to take some time for homework after you leave here to think about what are some of the things you desire. Now, I want to qualify it. I want it to be within the parameters, okay, of what you can actually desire. I don't want you desiring something that you're not allowed to desire, okay? So here's the rule. There are no rules. There are no parameters. There's no. There's yes in Him. Now let me qualify. If you're spending all your time with Him, you're doing everything with Him, the chances are you're not going to desire something that's against Him. Right? In order to desire things that are against Him, you got to break fellowship and get away from Him, right? Okay, if you ever want to do anything naughty, you get away from anybody that will convict you. Just to let you know, I was a little boy, I grew up, I was naughty. And I got away from anyone that would reprimand me or be any authority in those situations, right? So if we delight ourselves in God, your desires will be God-worthy desires. They will be. So the parameters are off. Whatever you desire. Whatever you desire. So some of you have pain in your bodies and you would desire that pain to be gone. Some of you have body parts that aren't functioning properly and you would desire for them to function properly. Some of you have broken relationships and you would desire that they're healed. Some of you have loved ones that aren't saved and you would desire that you would have confidence that they will be in the kingdom of God with you. Some of you have financial needs. And you don't know how your provision is going to get to you. But you need that provision. Some of you have other issues. And you want them healed or fixed or straightened out or blessings. Some of you have a great desire to make a difference in other people's lives. And you need an abundance to do that. You need an overflow of extra so you can lavish it out upon other people. And you're believing God for that abundant flow through you for other people. And that's a little bit closer to God's heart. You know, first we need our own needs met, and then we need to be able to meet other people's needs. Well, God says, if you'll start meeting other people's needs, I'll meet yours. That's how good God is. So, whatever the desire of your heart is, He desires to give it to you. So, in your paper that I'm going to give you, there's three spots for you to write down what are the things that you desire of the Lord. What are the things that you desire of the Lord? There's provision in the Word for it. So what I want you to do after you've found out your desire is, in the Bible, where does it say you're allowed to have it? Where in the Bible does it say it's okay, it's God's will, that you can walk in that, have that, do that, receive it, whatever it is you're believing God for? Where does it say that in the Bible? And I've got three spots for you to put that down in the Bible. Where are the verses that you can stand on when you don't see your answer right away or in the time period that you think it should be here. Okay? Because I'll tell you, God is really good, but the devil is also real. God is bigger than the devil. And when we agree with God, there's not a lot he can do. But sometimes when there's time between what we're believing for, and then we can say, there it is, that in between, the devil can mess with our minds sometimes. Or if you're believing for health in your body and it doesn't come instantly, and you got to stay in it for the long haul for a little while, you need something to strengthen you. Amen? After that, after we found out we've got the desires of our heart, we know it's God's will that we can have that and it's our desire, you know what we got to do next? Get rid of the doubt or unbelief or the other things that may be collected in our hearts and minds that's been laying there that would try to counter what we're believing God for. I've got some things I'm believing God for, and you know what the devil does? He says this, and you know, the devil, he's tricky. He uses my voice when he talks. Do you know that? He uses pictures inside of my mind when he shows me things. He tries to influence me as me. He tries to pull it off that it's me talking to me. That guy's tricky. But we are not ignorant of the devices of him. We are not ignorant of the ways that he does things, his tactics, right? So we know that if it's really valuable, he's going to try to ruin it. He's going to try to get us to not believe it's true and to look at physical symptoms rather than the spiritual truth of what it is. So let me just reiterate. How many of you know that what happens in the spirit is more real than what happens in the flesh? Okay. Those of you that raise your hand, you have revelation that a lot of people don't have yet. A lot of people starting think that this flesh body is who they are because it gives them so much grief. They're so connected to it. This is what tells you what's going on in this earth realm. This is, but how long are you going to live? 85 years and then you're gone, right? Poof, you don't exist anymore. No, you're going to live forever because you have everlasting life, right? You had a beginning, but you have no end. You will never stop. You will never cease. You will never cease being yourself. But this temporary transportation here tries to make us think that it's us. Okay? So we need the merismos. We need to divide asunder, like in Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick and powerful, able to divide asunder the soul and the spirit. Right? We need to divide asunder me from my body. Okay? We're together in this body, but I am not this body. This body is the vehicle while I walk on the earth, right? So we need to really get that cemented in our hearts and our minds. We are eternal, everlasting. We're not eternal, we're everlasting. Eternal is to have no beginning and no end. God's eternal. We have a beginning but no end, so we're everlasting. We're going to last forever. Like the best batteries that have ever been created. We're better than that. Forever, praise the Lord. So, what are the things that lay lingering in your heart where doubt has an opportunity to rob you of what you're believing God for? You might need to look at those things. Now listen, don't be laborious about it. If there's nothing there bothering you, there's nothing there bothering you. Don't go hunting for ghosts, okay? There's not. But if there is something that pops right up and there is something that is quicking you that, hey, I can't believe God for that because of this, this, and this. You need to take this, this, and this before God and the Word. You need to remove it. And there's a process for removing that, okay? Right now, I would like, if I can let somebody give a testimony of what God has revealed to them and that process. Is that all right with y'all? Miss Sandy, would you come up? Where's that other microphone at? Come up over here. Would you share with them what you shared with me earlier? She shared a testimony with me that really blessed me, so go ahead.
Sometimes we think that we have thoughts and things are taken care of, and we really don't realize that what's back behind us, what we put deep down, really isn't taken care of. I'm getting ready for Robert's teachings on the Holy Spirit, so I thought I would go ahead and get started and get delving into different things and learning different things. So one of the things was that not too long ago, up here, they were saying that they had been out to lunch and that one of the waitresses had gotten healed. Now, I thought I was past this, but apparently I wasn't. So I'm listening to about the waitress being healed and people being healed. So I went home and I'm thinking, now wait a minute, this isn't right. Why do these people go out and pray for people to be healed? And my husband was sick and I couldn't, there was no praying. Please, I am not mad at anybody. I love you folks. So just don't take it in the wrong way. So I'm learning about this stuff. So lo and behold, this week, here I'm learning my lessons. And one of the things that I learned was that a lot of people aren't healed when we pray for them because there might be an emotional problem there. So a lot of times what we do pray for, all of us, is on the emotional side. We will pray for the event of whatever happened, but we don't pray for the emotion. We forget to pray for the shame or the guilt or the anger, but we will try to take care of it through the event part of it. So one of the things that I was learning was that in order for someone to be healed, you've got to go and find out what that emotional problem is. So I thought this week I am going to do this. So I sat down and I'm going to tell you exactly what I said to the Lord and what happened. For a long time, I've had a lot of pain in my feet and my legs and my arm. And it was really getting to the point that some mornings I couldn't even get up. I hurt so bad I couldn't get up. So, and of course, I was praying for a healing and I wasn't getting it. So I sat down and I asked the Lord, I said, okay, I'm upset. I love these people, but I am upset because we weren't getting the prayer that I thought we needed. So I don't want to pray for the event. The event's gone. It's over. But I do want to pray for the anger that's there because that's probably what it is. So I asked the Lord, I said, to take the anger away, but not only take the anger away, that if the thought comes up again, it's not going to bother me. And hopefully the thought, when we take care of this anger, the thought's gone too. So anyway, I went ahead and prayed, asked the Lord for the help, because I'm also learning on this part of it that God's really got to help us with this one. So I asked the Lord to please get in there, take care of that anger. I'm over it. I'm done. I don't want this stopping me from helping other people and praying for other people. So I went ahead and prayed for that and asked the Lord at the same time to heal that wound that was in my soul. So I went ahead and did all that and boo-hooed and cried. The next day I woke up. I am walking, no pain. My feet don't hurt and my arm doesn't hurt. So it works, and just praise God.
Praise the Lord. Isn't that good news? That is really good news. Sometimes we want a vending machine answer to prayer. We want to pop in the quarter, push the button, and down drops my healing. Amen? So many of us want that. But there may be other things in the way, obstacles that are blocking the flow of God and the joy of God in our hearts, okay? If that is the case, and let me just qualify this. If I step on your toes, don't scream too loud, okay? And just love me afterwards. If you've been in church for several years and you have an ongoing condition that hasn't left, the chances are it's got an emotional background that's causing it to stay in your body. That's the chances are you're locked down in an area and you have not let the Holy Spirit minister to you in that area. And since it's such a hurtful area for you, you block it off, you barricade it, and you pretend it doesn't exist, and you ignore it, and you tuck it behind you, and you go, okay, Lord, what else could it be? What else could be stopping me? And this thing's back here. Remember me? Nope, it's not that. Lord, I just receive your healing for this pain in my body. And it's talking to me the whole time, and I'm shutting it down. I don't want to go there, okay? Go there. Sandy said she boo-hooed. She boo-hooed. Because sometimes the resentment or the offense or the wound, sometimes we've been betrayed. Those things are hard to get over when you've been betrayed. When somebody has deliberately ruined you, that's hard, but you got to get over it. You got to let it go because you become its prisoner. Amen? So we need to forgive. We need to release it. So first you need to acknowledge it, that it's there. Then you need to confess it, that I've been holding on to this thing. She had to go there. She had to find the thing. And then she had to forgive and release it and ask the Lord to heal that area, to wash it away, and to restore the wound so that the wound is no longer there, to make it good and healthy in her heart again, so that it doesn't come up and give her pain again. How many of you have forgiven somebody, thought you released it, and then time passes and they show up in your life, or somebody mentions their name, or you remember that situation and you get all lathered back up again? It's not healed yet. It's not gone yet. When it's gone, it's actually gone. You can't find it anymore because it's gone. You may have the memory, but it has no more power in the situation. Amen? Any of you that need more information on that, come talk to me later. I don't want to go into it any deeper than this right now, okay? So the thing is, if there's something that is blocking your faith, if you believe something in your heart that is not faith, it's doubt, it's unbelief, it's something holding you from thinking you can have what you're desiring, okay? You need to get rid of the hindrances. Are you with me so far, everyone? Okay. So after we remove those obstacles, we forgive, we repent, we confess anything. Okay, in your notes it says ant things. That means anything, okay? It means anything you've done or harboring. Release it. James 4, 7 and 8. Why don't we look at that? James is right after Hebrews and just before 1 Peter. James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Ready? Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Purifying our hearts. First of all, if you're sinning, stop. If you're actively doing something that your conscience is telling you is wrong, please stop it. It hurts you. It hurts you. Secondly, if you're double-minded about whether or not you can have what you're believing the Lord for, you can't get it. It just won't come to you. A double-minded man receives nothing from the Lord, it says in James chapter 1. Okay? So we need to be crystal clear that we can actually have the desire of our heart, whether it's a healing, a relationship restored, finances, whatever it is that you're desiring of God. Okay? So then we need to get clear that it's okay. Remove the double-mindedness, okay? Get it all cleared out so that we're really focused. Also, secondly, go to 1 John 1, 9. Now, I don't like to use this scripture very much, but at some point, it is applicable. 1 John 1, verse 9. So, let me ask you this. If we confess our sins, it says, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me just take a minute with this. Sandy confessed that she had something in her heart lingering. Okay? That's all we need to do is confess that there's something there that we don't want there anymore. It doesn't mean that you're out there in adultery or something like that. But if you are, please stop. But most of us aren't doing those kinds of things. And then what it is, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Anything that would get between our perfect relationship with us and God. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, it says in 1 Corinthians, doesn't it? Chapter 5, verse 21, for any of you that need to write it down. And it says that we became his righteousness. We are the righteousness of God in him. So therefore, we need anything that says we're not in perfect relationship with God, it needs to be cleansed out of us. It needs to be dealt with. It needs to be removed, right? After we do that, this restoration comes to our hearts. This real restoration starts taking place. And now, after the obstacles are gone, now we can start doing the exercise. That's exercise one. Exercise two, or part B. So this is how we do it. After we've got our desire figured out, we've got our verses to say that it's okay that we can have whatever we're believing God for, and we've removed the obstacles that are trying to counter what we're believing God for. Okay? So our hearts are clear, we got our verses, and we know what we're expecting from God or believing God for. Now, how do we use that information? How do we do that? So here's the second part of that process. Delight yourself in the Lord. Rejoice with him. Be thankful in your heart. Praise and worship and sing. How many of you, when we were singing the name of Jesus, you actually felt the presence of God in you and around you? You felt a bit of a closeness. Take closeness. Is that an English word, closeness? It's a closeness. It's closeness with him. To be closer. Amen? You can feel the presence of God. As we get into his presence by acknowledging him, worshiping him, praising him, and we get into his presence and just really elevate him in our eyes, then we can let our request be made known. After we've purified our hearts and we know we're allowed to have what we're asking for, we come into his presence with singing, with rejoicing. Some of us just sit quietly with our Bible, and that's when the Lord's magnified in our hearts. However it is for you that you get into the presence of God, then let your request be made known. Amen? Tell him what you want. That is a really fun thing. That is a really fun thing. Why? Because you already know he's going to give it to you. That's pretty exciting. When you already know he's going to give it to you, what limits do you have on what you're going to ask for? Really? When you really get to know that you're allowed to have the requests of your heart, and that he's a good and loving God and he wants you to be blessed because he's going to give you the desires of your heart. Holy smokes. What would we not ask of him? What would we not share of him when we receive it? So that's when you let your request be made known before him. You give your petitions, your requests, your desires. You ask. Amen? And after you've asked, you go back to worshiping him again, back to enjoying his company and thanking him for who he is, thanking him for being a good God, thanking him for loving you so well, thanking him that the answer to your prayer is yes and in him, amen, and that it's on its way right now. Even like Daniel, when he prayed, God said, the angel told Daniel when it took a little while to get there, he says, oh, soon as you ask, God sent it right then and there. We just had some obstacles in the way, some resistance, and couldn't get it here to you. I've oversimplified that situation, but basically, that's what it was. There was resistance against it. I don't have an answer for whether you get it in 5 seconds or 5 hours or 5 days or weeks or months. I don't have an answer for that. But that's when the fact that you've removed the double-mindedness takes in. Once it's yours, it's yours. Amen? That's where a few of us stumble. Once we know how good God is and we ask for what our petition is before Him, that time has a way of wearing us down sometimes, doesn't it? But I want to encourage you. That's when you get more determined. That's for me. I plug it in and I just continue to thank. I continue to praise. I continue to resist any thoughts or any feelings that say otherwise. And I just hone in on. Like, you know, what's that game where they, football. Sorry, I'm not a sports person. I know football. I just slipped my mind. You know how when they got that ball and they're running with it? Yeah, football, American football. They're running with it, and they see all those guys in front of them. Those are the invisible obstacles that come against you when you're believing God for the answer of your prayer. You got to get that touchdown. You don't want to give up what you're believing God for. So you hold it in tight to you. You bring it in close. You put your head down and you start running. And you look for a way through the opposition. Because the opposition will be there. Listen, if everybody had all of their requests with no fretting, this world would be a very, very different place. Right? There are forces that will resist the things of God. So you grab onto what you're believing God for, and you're going for those things at the other touchdown, and you're going to run, and the guys, you just plow your way right through them, jump over them, push them out of the way, go around them, whatever you need to do, amen? But they will be there. So when you're hanging on to what you're believing for, the way you do that and you fight your enemy is by praising God. Not doubting, losing. Don't lose the momentum of believing God and being thankful in your heart. And just keep it going. That's how you fight the enemy. The enemy's going, oh, it didn't work. That's when you go, Lord, you're so faithful to me. I just praise your name. Oh, you know, maybe for somebody else, but not for you. Lord, I thank you. You're no respecter of persons. Hallelujah. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Oh, well, you're messing up. You're not being a very good person right now. You can't get anything from God right now. Lord, I thank you that everything I've ever done or ever will do has been forgiven and was placed on Jesus on the cross. Jesus, thank you for my salvation. Thank you for making me worthy in the eyes of God. Thank you for the covenant that you put into place. And we just counter every one of those things that comes up, right? Oh, well, I don't feel like it's coming. I don't feel like it's coming. Rise up, stir yourself up, shake it off, and start putting on praise for a garment of heaviness and depression. And start praising and thanking and praising and snap yourself out. And you will elevate yourself out of the minutia and the problems. And you'll have a new view of your situation. Amen? And you receive what God has for you. Then, if you're still not receiving, rather seeing the end of your prayers, go back to A. Say what you're believing God for. Find your verses, new verses to back it up. Stabilize your heart and go after it again. Refine the process and zero in. So now, here's the wonderful part. You're not on your own to believe God. You're not left to yourself to have to do it all by yourself. We have a companion, the Holy Spirit of God. And I want to let you know something. He talks to me. He tells me things that I don't even know. There's no way I could. He tells me. Isn't that great? He shows me things that there's no way I could have ever seen it on my own. And he helps me in my times of weakness. And guess what? When I'm trying to pray and I don't even know what to pray, he rises up inside of me and he starts praying for me. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? I just pray in the Holy Ghost and he just starts doing what he does best, glorifying God. Amen. So that I can rejoice with him. I think sometimes we are not delighting ourselves in the Lord because our situation has gotten hard. It's gotten painful. It's been going on for so long that we can't hardly deal with it anymore. Amen? Those are the times when you just lay it all down. Get back in the presence of God and just start fellowshipping. Forget about your problems. Forget about the pain. Forget about the finances. Forget about the angry people. Forget about the things that don't look like they're going in your direction. Forget about the things that are falling apart and you can't seem to do anything about it. Lay it down and glorify God. You are everlasting. You will get through it. I promise, I can guarantee it. As long as your name is written in the book, you will get through it. Amen? You got to do quite a lot to get your name rubbed out of that book. I mean, quite a lot to get your name blotted out. And I don't expect anyone that I'm listening to or talking to right now is listening to me. Name is going to be blotted out. I believe you're all in it for the long haul. So listen, you will win every time. Even if you outlive this body, amen, you will. But what's really wonderful, what's really exciting, what's really thrilling is that the body lines up with the things of God. Just like Miss Sandy shared, you know, she had this pain and it was accumulative. And it wasn't the event that needed to be dealt with. Hey, this is important. It's not what you're going through. It's not what happened to you that's important. It's what you say in your heart when you go through it. Or when it happened to you, what did you decide? What did you say in your invisible person when it happened? That's what shapes your identity. That's what shapes your reality. That's what projects your future. What you said. So that's when you need to go to forgiving. You need to go to releasing. You need to change your inner conversation and release that and let it go. Amen. That inner dialogue that's always going on. Let it go. Amen. And start loving God and loving people. So, after we follow the instructions, so it's praise and thank him for being so good and loving. Thank him for even now to answering your prayers, and it's on its way. And that's 2 Corinthians 1:20. 2 Corinthians 1:20. You guys want to go ahead and look there? You got it up there? For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. So if you can find it in the word, it's an absolute yes from God, and you can rest assured in that. Amen? So after that, like I said, the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And I just want to come across a few of the ways, and then I'll turn you loose. When the Holy Spirit is sharing with us about what's going on in our hearts or what the obstacles are, you know, you may not hear a booming voice talking to you. You might not. It might just be an impression that you get, an idea of something. You might see a little picture or a fleeting picture. You might read a verse in the Bible and something just pops out at you. You might overhear a conversation and one sentence of that conversation just seems like it's magnified to you. The Holy Spirit is finding a way to get the solution to you once you've asked. Amen? So say you're believing for a loved one to get saved or for your finances to be increased. He will show you a way to step into the path of that thing. So you may be have an unction to call somebody. You may have an unction to apologize to somebody. You may have an unction to love on somebody and invite them into your home, whatever. Whatever that little leading is, go with it. That's the Holy Spirit shaping your life to get the result that you desire. Amen? How many of you would like to operate more in your spiritual gifts? Okay, the Bible says to desire spirituals, to desire them. So if you have a desire for them and you delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you the fulfillment of that desire, which is more of the manifestation of Him. Okay? It's not a gift excluding Him. It's a gift of Him. Amen? So we'll be talking about that in weeks to come. But if you do want to operate in miracles, if you do want to operate in discernment of spirits, if you do want words of knowledge or words of wisdom, if you do want anything that the Lord provides, delight yourself in Him, let your request be made known, and receive Him. Then step out and do it. Amen? Step out and do it. Whatever we're believing God for, there's usually something that we have to do on our side of the equation. It's that F word. You know that F word? Faith. Faith, really big deal to God. That we trust that He's that good, that He's doing those things, and we step out by faith and lay hold of them. Amen? Amen. Everybody stand up. Let's just raise our hands to the Lord. Say with me, Father, You're a good God. I love You. I desire everything You have for me. Every gift, every blessing, every abundance, every open door. I desire it. Father, You're faithful. You promised to give me the desires of my heart. Make me aware of Yourself, of Your goodness, and Your provision. And I'll walk through it. I'll share it. And I'll magnify Your name. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So let's just say this. Ready? This is a whole different posture. Let's point down at the carpet when we say this one. Ready? Devil, you have no power in my life. You've been defeated. And you are no longer in my life to lie to me, to rob me, to deceive me, or to cause me to fall short in any area. Jesus is my Lord. And You are under my feet for all eternity. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. 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 The devil has been defeated. Amen. He doesn't have the power to stop us from having the desires of our heart. It's a lie. He doesn't have the power. That's darkness. You and I are the light. We are the light. We're not in the light. We are the light. And in the light, there is no darkness. Amen? All the lies, all the deceptions are in the dark. We expose them, right? Anything the devil has that he wants to shame you with, that he wants to make you feel guilty or falling short, you bring it right into the light of God and you say, no more, devil. God, this is it. I ask you to cleanse me of it and to remove it from me in Jesus' name. And you go in power and victory. Amen. You guys should not spend 1 minute in condemnation. Not 1 minute in insecurity, fear, or weakness. Not 1 minute. Amen. Shake it off. Stir yourself up and boldly say what the Lord says in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap.